Amen. All right. You can go ahead and be seated. It'll be fine. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning and to be in the services. I appreciate the church putting on the fellowship there for Mom and Daddy, the celebration for their anniversary. 35 years is an accomplishment a lot of people don't have. Amen. And in this day, it is an accomplishment. It is a success there. Amen. And we thank the Lord for it. And I appreciate you praying for us there in Oklahoma. Appreciate the support that you've given us. We're thankful for it. I was going to take just a minute and tell you a little bit about what the Lord's doing there. And what we've seen Him do is a blessing to see the Lord work in a church. Amen. And, it seems like, you know, that the church was without a pastor for about 3 years, I think. And, so it was, it's out in the country anyway, and it had dwindled down some, and we've seen some people become more faithful, and that's a blessing. And we've also seen some become less faithful, amen. But we're thankful for what the Lord's doing. We've seen the Lord, as you know, the Lord's laid on my heart last several years a theme of missions, I guess, in my preaching and in on the radio and everything. And so I didn't go in there for that purpose, but I did know when I went in there they didn't support any missionaries. Right. And they had in the past a few, not very many. And so the Lord just kind of laid on my heart to preach along those lines some. And then it's actually, this church has been an inspiration in that as well. Brother Larry and Brother Randy came here to move us out there with their trailer. And so they stayed here at the church, and when they come through the foyer, Brother Randy saw all the missionaries. He said, "Y'all support all these missionaries?" And he's like, "Yes." And so anyway, he had several questions. And when we got back, him and some others had questions about, how do you support missions? What? How do you go about doing that? And so the Lord laid it on my heart to have Paul Shepherd come and preach on missions.
Amen.
Amen. And so he did that, and we had good service, and the people received it well. We took up a missions offering. We've been doing that every Sunday night now,
amen,
which is new to them. But they're giving in it. I praise the Lord for it. The first offering, we have about 25 people or so on average, I guess, about 25 people. And the first missions offering, we had over $500 given in the missions offering. Amen. I think that's a good start. Amen. And so we thank the Lord for that. There's a couple that if you would pray for the George family. I think I mentioned this before I left here. Brother Mike George has got a lot of problems along the same lines as Brother Woodard. He's got diabetes. He's got kidney problems. And he's not on dialysis yet, but they don't know. He always tested negative for COVID, but he had the flu. We know that. But he's on oxygen now and can't get up by himself, can't do anything by himself, really. And it's just not doing well, and it doesn't seem like they're doing anything to help him. So you pray that the doctors will be able to help him there, and his wife needs a knee replacement, and she's having to lift him and move him around and stuff. And so if you would pray for that family, the Lord to help them. They're as faithful as they can be in that situation. They're not always able to be there, but they're able to be there as much as they can. And so we thank the Lord for the desire to be in the house of God. Amen. And so anyway, we also have a couple men, a couple young men there in the church that one of them has told me that he's lost and asked me to pray for him, that he'd be saved.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know much about his situation, but I know that much. And so that's a blessing when somebody knows that they're lost. But then I have another man in the church there that has made a profession before, and sometimes he comes to me and he'll come to me and talk quite a bit about, he's concerned about his soul. He's not sure if he's saved, or then other times he knows he's lost, and but he needs to get that settled. Amen.
Right.
He can't get any help from God until he knows whether he is lost or saved. Amen. And so anyway, you pray the Lord would touch in his heart, and he come and talk to Daddy and talk to Papa for couple hours about his soul, two different times while they was there. He was only there 2 or 3 days. They come and talk to him at the house, talk to him at church. Amen. So he's concerned, it seems like.
Right.
But you know how it is when somebody is concerned about their soul. The devil seeks every opportunity that he can to keep them out of church. And so he'll seem to be faithful for a while and serious, and then he's gone, and you don't find him for a couple of weeks. So pray the Lord would get a hold of his heart and would save him or give him assurance, whatever's needed in his life, and pray the Lord would help in the church there. Amen. I do appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. Daddy mentioned it'd be hard for us to go back. We're going to be in Mississippi along with Mom and Daddy there this week, tomorrow and Tuesday, and be heading back on Wednesday to Oklahoma. So you pray for us there. But amen. It was a little bit easier this trip with us having three drivers now. Amen. Yeah, no. Logan knew that as a joke, didn't he? I wouldn't let Katie drive. Amen. No, but anyway, amen. Amen. No, but it is a blessing to be here this morning. Amen. And be able to, if you want to look with us in 1 Peter chapter number 2, I talked to Daddy about this a little bit, but the Lord's laid on my heart to preach on Wednesday nights there through the book of 1 Peter. And I really just got through the first two verses so far, so this is not in that necessarily, but the Lord just laid on my heart to preach through this book. I think if we're not careful, we can, I've seen people, I believe in the, I'm a dispensationalist in to a certain extent. Sure. I believe in the dispensations, but we can be so dispensationalist, hyper-dispensationalist, that we believe that the Old Testament is to the Jew, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are to the Jew, and Acts is to the Jew, amen, or to the early church, and Corinthians to the church at Corinth, and all these, and we don't have any Bible left to us. Amen. But we know that all Scripture is given for is given by inspiration and is profitable. All Scripture is profitable to us. Amen. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. So I believe that the whole Bible is profitable for us, but if there was one book that was written specifically to us, in our day, I believe it might be 1 Peter, be the closest one that would be specific to us. Peter was writing to the strangers that were scattered abroad. I believe these strangers were scattered because of persecution. Right. They were facing persecution. They were suffering. And I titled the series Grace Through Suffering, because you can find grace all throughout the book of 1 Peter. You can find precious things in the book of 1 Peter. Amen. You can find hope in 1 Peter. But ultimately, he's talking to suffering saints. Mm-hmm. Amen. I don't think that we are necessarily suffering like these saints were suffering. Amen. We're not facing persecution, amen, right, like they were. We may think we are sometimes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because we can't find a Dr. Seuss book does not mean we're under persecution. Amen. Amen. That, I don't think they should cancel those books, but the government didn't cancel those books. There's a big difference, and we shouldn't expect the government to force them to print Dr. Seuss books, or force Facebook to allow you to post on Facebook. Amen. We don't want the government involved in what we have. We were against them forcing bakers to bake cakes for same-sex marriages, which is what we're asking the government to do to Facebook and Dr. Seuss and all this. So the point is, we're not under persecution like they were. I believe we're coming to a day, and these things may lead to that.
Sure, I believe it will.
I've said this before. I don't think that we're going to see a dictatorship come from a Democrat. I think it'll come from a Republican, more than likely. Amen. And we'll see that. I'm not talking about politics. We can see that because we are asking the government to step in and fight for us. Our hope is not in the government. Amen. It never has been and never will be in the government. But Peter here is writing to those. He's not only writing to those. Look at back in chapter number 1. He's not just writing to those who are scattered abroad. But look in verse number 2. He's writing. Verse number 1, he says, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Number 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, he's speaking to people who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Right. who have been sprinkled with the blood of Christ,
right,
who have been elect,
right,
by Christ. Amen. We're elect in Christ.
Yes,
amen. We are saved. So he's talking to people who have been saved by the grace of God.
Yes,
and so, as I said, I believe this is written to people like us. Amen.
Yes,
who are saved. And if you are saved, this book is written to you. Amen.
Yes.
And we can see, even in struggling times, even in times of suffering, sometimes our suffering may not be political suffering, may not be oppression, may not be those, it may be physical suffering,
yes, sir,
that we're going through. Sometimes God allows us to do that for a specific purpose. Look in 1 Peter, if you would, chapter number 2, and we'll look in verse number 9. We'll begin there. If you look back through this, he's talking about Christ being the stone which the builders rejected, the cornerstone. And of course, the world says, or the religious crowd says, that this rock, that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. They say that was Peter. Peter says that was the Lord. Amen.
Right.
He says he's the cornerstone.
Right.
He says, look in verse number 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. I look back in verse number 6. This is where I was going for at the end of it. He says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Peter's not saying he who believes on me. That's not what he's talking. He's not saying I'm the cornerstone. He's talking about Christ. Amen. And he is the cornerstone. He is the one on whom we have believed. Amen. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. So now look, verse number 9, we'll pick up in our text. The Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation. He changes. He's not talking about Christ now in his focus. He's focusing on us that are saved. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God.
Amen.
Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Amen. So I'm looking here at these verses, and Brother Richardson, I believe, preached from these verses on the radio, and along the same lines that I'm going to preach this morning. But I'm looking at that there in verse number 11. He says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. We understand that a stranger is somebody that's away from home.
Right.
He's sojourning. He's in a different land. He's not at home. And then a pilgrim is somebody that's on their way home. Amen. And so that's what we are. We're not, this world is not our home. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes we have to be reminded that we've got a better place.
Amen.
Amen. And we're not looking to this world for our hope. We're not looking to this world for our encouragement. We're not looking for a pat on the back.
Right.
Amen. Well, our hope is in heaven.
Amen.
As struggling saints, perhaps.
Yep.
As suffering saints. We have a hope that is in heaven. Well, this world is not our home. Amen.
Right.
So I want to preach just a little bit on reminders for pilgrims and strangers.
Amen.
Now, Daddy, would you pray for us as we preach this morning?
Heavenly Father, again, we want to say that we're thankful for the opportunity to be in the house of God, for the blessings of God we've enjoyed already.
Yes, Lord.
The songs, the specials.
Thank you, Lord.
Congregation, Lord, the good spirit of God that's here, the Sunday school lesson. Lord, thank you.
Yes, Lord.
I pray, dear Lord, you use Joshua now as he preaches. Give us ears to hear. Let the spirit of God have free course. The word of God have free course. Accomplish your
yes, Lord.
Sinners. stir the saints. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Daddy, for that. I appreciate that. As I said, the stranger is somebody that's not at home. And I think a lot of times, especially in the scriptures, we see a stranger as a Gentile.
Yeah.
A stranger is somebody, but the stranger is in a place where he's there long enough that he needs a house. He needs, maybe he might need a job. Mm-hmm. He needs something to, but he knows that this is not where he belongs. Amen. Even though he may have a house here, even though he may have a job, even though he may have family here, what, this is not his home. Amen. And that's where we're at in our day. The stranger has no legal rights to the land that he's on. Amen. We may find ourselves in a place where we don't have any rights in our society. We may find ourselves in a place where we don't have any voice in our government.
Yep.
I believe we're pretty close to that.
Yes, sir.
But we're not a permanent resident here. Amen. We're a stranger, an exile, who lives in a foreign land. We're here for a purpose and for a time. Amen. And one day we'll be going home, and that's why we're a pilgrim. Amen. Both of these words describe who we are as children of the Lord. We're living in the world, but the world is not our home. The Bible says in Philippians 3, verse number 20 and 21, for our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Amen. Amen. We understand this, that this is not where we are, where we belong and where we're going to end up. Amen. We have a better place. And we have a better body. Amen. I believe that there in John 14 is talking about our body, where he's talking about, he goes to prepare a place for us. There's mansions in my Father's house, are many mansions.
Right.
According to 1 Corinthians, I believe those mansions are bodies. Amen. And we have a body here that's like a tent.
Yeah.
And the one that we're going to have in heaven is like a mansion. Amen. Yeah. Or is a mansion. Amen. And so we see that here the Lord's given us a body, but this old body is going to pass away one of these days, and we're going to get a glorified body. Amen. One that won't have any aches and pains. It won't have any problems. Won't need any surgeries. Amen. But it also will never die. Amen. Amen. So, you've probably done this. I'm thinking about the Matthews. They're there in Southeast Asia. They just got there yesterday, or this morning their time, but it was yesterday our time. And but you've probably either been to a foreign country, or you've met somebody from a foreign country. And even though you may say something, they understand it different than what you understand. They have a different language, different understanding of a language. They have a different culture, a different mentality about everything, different mindset about everything.
Yep.
As Christians, we should be foreigners to the world. Not just that we have a different place to go to, a better place, but we don't think like the people around us think.
Right.
We don't talk like the people around us talk.
Right. Yep.
There's something different about a Christian, amen, because we are strangers and pilgrims, amen. Yep. Why do foreigners talk the way that they talk? Well, the reason is because they're born different than we are. Amen. The reason we're different than the world is because we've been born again.
Amen.
And it's different. Amen.
Amen.
We've been born different than they were. Amen. Our new birth and our new nature are all products of heaven. Amen. As God's given us in advance of our entrance to heaven. Our legal status is in heaven. As a result, we are to be heavenly minded.
Amen.
Amen. So many times we get carried up with things here in the world that don't mean anything in spiritual terms. Amen. And don't mean anything in eternity. I believe we should obey the laws of the land, but the law and the will of God are far superior than the laws of man.
That's right.
That is preached through Esther, and it is interesting how that the laws of man cannot be changed, but the laws of God, they believe, can.
Yeah.
But God's laws is better than man, is stronger than man, amen, it supersedes man's law, amen. That's what Paul had in mind. You know the scripture in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. If we then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I wonder if we consider ourselves, our flesh, dead today. If we really do have our affection set on things of God or things above. Brother, I've quoted this several times. Brother Travis Clayton says it and is right. I believe. He said, we've got it so good here that we can't get excited about going to heaven.
Yes, sir.
We've got everything we ever wanted here on the earth. Mm-hmm. And we just cannot get excited about going to heaven. Well, there's something to be excited about. Amen. There's something to look forward to. And sometimes we need to be reminded that we are just strangers here,
yes,
just pilgrims here. Amen. So I want to look here at three different reminders for pilgrims and strangers. Number one, I see we have a reminder here in our scripture of our past situation. What we used to be.
Yep.
Amen. Look in verse number 9. The Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him, here it is, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Yes.
That's a wonderful verse there.
Yes,
sir. I love that verse. It paints a picture for us.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But the emphasis of that is on his marvelous light. But we want to look here for just a minute at the part where it says out of darkness.
Yeah.
We have a dark past.
Yep.
We have a rough past. Amen. We had, you say, well, I didn't get involved with all the things of the world like some people did. And I didn't. I did more than I should have.
Sure.
But I was saved in a Christian home and I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
But God still saved me from that sin.
Right.
I needed salvation just as bad as anybody did. Amen. Sin is dark.
Yes.
It don't matter how deep you was in sin,
yep,
it was still dark.
That's right.
Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, you know this, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath,
yes, sir,
even as others. Paul saying we have a past that we don't need to live in the past, but we need to look back sometimes and just remember where the Lord brought us from.
Amen. Amen.
I've heard this, and I think Daddy's used it some too, that if you, every vehicle needs a rear view mirror.
Yep.
You need to look back sometimes.
Yep.
But if your rear view mirror is bigger than your windshield, you're going to have a crash.
Yep.
Right? You can't be looking back all the time. You have to look forward. Amen. You should be looking forward more than you're looking back, but there does come a time when we have to remember where the Lord's brought us,
right,
from. I say this especially in a time of suffering.
Yep.
When we're suffering and we feel like we just have it so bad here on this earth, we're suffering for Jesus, right? We're trying to live life for the Lord. We're trying to be faithful to church. We're trying to do right, and then we have this problem or that problem. And I don't know if we feel like Job, but Job didn't do anything wrong. And he still wound up in a deep trial,
yep,
of affliction. And sometimes we wonder, you know, why are we... Sometimes we may feel like we have it worse as a saved individual than we ever did as a lost person, physically. But that's not true. But that's what we feel sometimes. And it does us good to remember that we have a dark past.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, I've never done anything like that. I remember Papa Shepherd's talking about that he was preaching about, or no, maybe in Brother Lineberry, I don't remember. Somebody was talking about, they was preaching, talking about how all have sinned And they said, oh, I've never committed murder. I've never killed anybody. And that's what they thought sin was. That's the only sin was murder. Well, there's a lot of sin. All of us have sinned. If you don't realize that you have a dark past, then you're probably still in the darkness.
That's right.
Amen. You have to be lost before you can ever be saved.
Amen.
Amen. But the Lord found us when we lived as we pleased, and we were unaware that our freedom and fun was nothing more than the worst kind of bondage.
Right.
Bible says in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Yes,
we have a world today that's saying, do whatever feels good, whatever you like to do. And the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right.
Right.
If we just decide what is right and wrong, how do we know what's right and wrong? People talk about evil. I think everybody in the world would agree that there's evil in the world.
Sure.
But what defines evil? Who defines evil?
Yeah.
Well, we're saying there's no absolutes. If there's no absolutes, then what's right for you may be wrong for me, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we got, Brother Steve talked about it this morning, we got the Word of God that sheds light on what's right and wrong. Amen.
Yes.
And we can live by it. Amen. We have a dark past. Look in verse number 10. He says, in which time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I see we don't just have a dark past, we have a despised past. He said, well, we're not a people. We were outcast. We didn't have any hope. Amen. We were despised. We were Gentiles. Peter's not writing to the Jew, he's writing to the Gentile mainly. And he's talking with the Jews was the people. They was the people of God.
Right.
And yet they walked away from God. They went against God. They refused Christ. Amen. But we're reminded that when he came to us, when he saved us, we were not even part of a people.
No.
Amen. Ephesians 2:12, the Bible says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world.
Yes,
you know somebody that is not a part of the family of God has no hope?
That's right.
Outside of Christ, there is no hope.
That's right.
You say, well, I believe as long as somebody is sincere and they really believe what they believe, then God will let them in. Well, if that's the case, why did Christ go to the cross?
Right.
And bleed and die for our sins.
Yes, sir.
It's already been said. Jesus said, I am the way,
the only way,
the truth, and the life. The only way you're going to have life is through Jesus Christ, through His sacrifice on Calvary. Amen. Colossians 1:21, the Bible says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Amen. I think we understand what the word alien means, or alienated. Alien, we talk about aliens being from another planet or even another country. And it's talking about a foreigner. It's talking about a stranger. That's what an alien is. Something that's strange. Something that's from a different place.
Right.
Amen. We were aliens from Christ. We had no place in Christ.
Right.
And now He has reconciled us.
Amen.
To Himself. Amen. We were outcast. We were part of a fallen race. We were part of Adam's sin.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And we were the enemies of God, the Bible tells us. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. There's nothing in us that could be approved by God outside of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a dark past. We have a despised past. Look in verse number 10. He says, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We have a deadly past.
Yeah.
We were on the path to destruction.
Yep.
We were on the path to hell. Anybody who has not trusted in Christ, anybody who has not repented of their sins and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is on their way to a devil's hell. Amen. You say, why would God ever send anybody to hell? Well, listen, God didn't send anybody. God has never sent anybody to hell, except for the devil and his angels.
Right.
And really, you can say their sin sent them there. Their pride.
Yep.
Their disobedience to God sent them there. But God has made a way for you to be saved.
Amen.
And it's a simple way. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we reject. We stomp the blood of Christ in the ground.
Yep.
We say, I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to be my own God. I'm going to do my own thing. And by that we destine ourselves to hell. Amen.
Right.
When God came to us, we were totally unworthy of the mercy and the grace that He extended to us. I'm saying we're strangers and pilgrims in this world. And we are only because of the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God I am that I am. I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. And nobody is ever going to stand in heaven and be able to brag on one thing that they did to get there.
Yep.
Amen. All of us that make it to heaven are going to get there through the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Through what He has done on the cross. We have a dark past, a despised past, and a deadly past. So we look at a reminder about the past. We also have a reminder of our present standing. Where we're at today. What we are today. Who we are. Who are we? The Bible says we're a new creation. He says here in verse number 9, but ye are a chosen generation. Wait, we just realized that we were not a people. But now we're a chosen generation. Amen. We're a new creation. We're different than what we used to be. Amen. We understand 2 Corinthians 5:17 is talking about positionally,
sure,
as well as practically.
Right.
Amen. Absolutely. We are a new creature. We're a heavenly creature now, if you want to say it that way. We have our home in heaven.
Right.
We're bound for heaven.
Yes, sir.
But here on this earth, we're a new creature. We're not in the darkness that we was before. Amen. We're not in the sin that we was before. That doesn't mean that we're sinless, but it does mean we should sin less. Amen. If we're saved. Amen. So, we are a chosen generation. God did this according to His own will. And He made, if we can say it this way, a new race of people. Amen. He had the Jews was His people.
Right.
Now the church is His people.
Right.
Amen. And I understand it's not a racial issue, but the way to get in His people is to be born into it, as we said. Amen. Be born into the family of God. Amen. We may be the same as others physically, but spiritually, we are alive. Amen. And they are dead. The lost are dead. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:32, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. People say, well, the church replaced the Jew. Not according to that verse.
Right. Nope.
There's three different things there.
Yep.
Amen. Now you can be a Jew and be in the church of God, or you can be a Gentile and be in the church of God, but they're not the same. Amen.
Right.
All the Jews are not saved.
Right.
Nope. I wish that they were, but they're not.
Nope.
Amen. All the Gentiles are not saved. I wish that they were, but they're not. Amen. But any of them can be saved. Amen. And we can be a new creature in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, the Bible says, but for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Amen.
That's the reason that the world don't understand us. That's the reason we're not part of the world, is because we're different. Amen.
Amen.
We're born of the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit of God. We have different beliefs. We have different actions.
Yep.
We have different attitudes. Amen. Than the world does. We are a new creation. We have a new communion. Look here, he says in verse number 9, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
Amen.
Amen. The Jews, they didn't have communion with God. They went to the priest.
Yep.
and the priest, the priests were able to sacrifice, and the priests were able to mediate between the people and God. Well, now the Bible says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. We don't have to go to a priest. The Bible says we are a priest. He says you are a royal priesthood. How did somebody in the Old Testament become a priest? You had to be born in the family of Aaron, didn't you?
Right.
He was born a priest.
Yep.
Amen. And that's the same way it is now. You're born into the family of God. Yeah. You're born again, and you are a priest. You can communicate. Brother Steve's talking about the Lord communicates to us through His Word.
Yes, sir.
And He does. Amen. We can communicate to Him through prayer. Amen. We don't have to go through the pastor. I'm thankful that we have a man of God we can go to. He can pray for us. And I think we should ask him to pray for us. But it's not that we ask him to pray for us and we never pray about it.
Right. Right.
Amen. Somebody said we shouldn't ever talk to man about God before we talk to God about man.
Right.
Amen. And I think that's right. We have a new communion. We should be in tune with God. Amen. Ephesians 2:14, the Bible says, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross,
Amen.
Having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." We both have access to one Spirit, by one Spirit unto the Father. "Now therefore are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Now he's talking about our relationship to God. We were a stranger and a foreigner to God. Now we're no more a stranger and a foreigner to God. But we are strangers and foreigners in this land that we live in.
Right. Right.
Amen. And I'm not just talking about America. I'm thankful for America.
Sure.
But this world that we live in, we're a stranger and a pilgrim here. Amen. "Since all of this is true, we can come into the presence of the Lord, and we now have instant access to our Creator, amen, to our Savior." The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, you know, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. We can boldly come into the throne room of grace. Brother Earl Hughes says in the hillbilly Hebrew, as that means you don't have to stand at the door and knock. Amen. You just come on in and let the Lord know what it is that you're in need of. Amen. Amen. We have a new communion. We are a new creation, and we have a new character.
Yes, sir.
There should be something different about us as Christians.
Right.
Amen. We should have character. He says here we are a holy nation. Not just a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, but a holy nation. Amen. We should be holy people. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy."
Amen.
You say, "Well, I got saved." Well, the Lord didn't just want to save you. He wants to use you in His service. Amen. He has something for each of us to do. And one of those things is to be holy and to be separate and to be sanctified unto Him.
Amen.
Amen. When you get saved, that's an instantaneous work.
Right.
Instantly, you're saved. You're just as saved the moment after you got saved as you are the moment that you die.
Yes, sir.
And every time in between, you're just as saved. But sanctification or separation is a progressive thing. The Lord should be working on us every day to get us closer to Him. We live in a day when people want to be just like everybody else.
Yeah.
They won't even have church that don't feel like church, feels like something else.
Yep.
Amen. We should want to be holy people.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. I believe that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I don't believe that. If somebody's seeking after God, that tells me that God's seeking after them.
That's right.
God is drawing them to Himself. If you think, well, if the Lord has showed you that you're lost, that's what I tell them there. If the Lord has shown you that you are lost, He didn't do that just so you know that you're lost.
Nope.
He did that so you can be saved.
Right.
The Holy Ghost is dealing with you. No man cares that he's lost.
Right.
Unless the Holy Ghost is working
in
your heart. Amen. We have a new character when we're saved. A new nature. Amen. The Bible says, 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Yes,
amen. This new spiritual nature has the capacity through the work of the Holy Ghost to produce works of true holiness,
yes, sir,
pleasing to the Lord. Again, we cannot be holy. We cannot be righteous without the Lord.
Right.
It takes being in Christ to be a holy creature.
Yeah.
It takes being in Christ to be, you can try to be good, you can try to do good, and you may fool some people, but when the Lord looks at you, the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags in Isaiah. Amen. But when the Lord does the work on the heart of a sinner and changes him and saves him, He puts something inside of him that makes him want to live holy and pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. And that's not something you can work up. You can try to, but it ain't going to work. Amen. If you are trying to live right and it just seems like nothing is working, you cannot live the life of a Christian. You can't. Amen. It's not in me to live a life of a Christian. It's in Christ that lives in me.
Right.
Amen. If I have trusted in Him,
yes,
He will do the work on the inside.
Amen.
And I won't have to be trying my best to do what's right.
Right.
I will try my best to do what's right, but it won't be that it's in me to do it.
Right.
It's in Him. Amen. And He will do it. This is the will of God, that every believer should be holy. Things like prayer, witnessing, acts of faith, acts of love, kindness, and forgiveness are all things and more. Things that prove that God can take a sinner, a wicked sinner, and turn him into a saint. Amen.
Amen.
And make him holy. Amen. Be ye holy as I am holy. How can we be holy like God is? Well, it takes the Lord to do that. Amen. It's all in Him. 1 Peter 1:16, He says that. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we see that God creates a new creature inside of us when we are saved. Amen. The flesh can produce a lot of things that look good externally, but only the Holy Spirit can do the work that's needed in the life of a sinner. Amen. To make him holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. The lost man may clean up his life somewhat, but it takes the Holy Ghost to clean his life. Amen.
Right.
A lost man cleans up his life maybe some, but a saved man, his life is cleaned up for him. He doesn't have to do it.
Amen.
It's all, immediately it's done for him. Amen. We are a new creation. We have a new communion. We have a new character, and we have a new classification.
Yes,
he says we're a peculiar people. Now, I looked that up, that word peculiar, and we kind of know what peculiar means, but in this way, it doesn't mean exactly what I thought it meant. It doesn't mean strange, necessarily. It means precious. Or it means purchased.
Amen.
It means precious, but what it means by this being a peculiar people, it means that we're worth something to somebody.
Amen.
Amen. And He purchased us with His blood.
Amen.
This same word that we find here, the same meaning, is found in Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels.
Amen.
And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." As mentioned, there's 400 years between that and when Christ came, with no word from God. That's one of the last things that God said there. And He's talking about He's going to spare His people. as a man would spare his own son. Amen. And the reason is because we were bought by his own son. Amen. Amen. And so we understand that. That word jewel means the same thing really that this word particular, peculiar does here in this word. It means that we are a precious people or a purchased people. Amen. It means that God paid a high price. Amen. For us. We were worthless.
Yep.
And yet he gave the best that he could give.
Amen.
For us. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, the Bible says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's."
Amen.
We're bought. That means the Lord can tell us what he wants us to do.
Yep.
He can tell us how he wants us to be used. He can use us in his will and in his way.
Amen.
Whatever that may be. He possesses us. And this means that we are precious to him. Amen. He looks after us with the greatest care. Ain't you thankful for that? Amen. He protects us and he shelters us and he uses us in his will. Amen.
Amen.
We were once a despised, worthless people, but now through the blood of Christ, we are precious in God's sight. Amen. You understand that you've lost something. Maybe a ring that you bought or... I don't know if any of y'all men ever lost a fishing pole or anything, but anyway, something that you hold in high esteem, and you did everything that you could to try your best to find that.
Yep.
That was a prized possession. Amen. But I'm thankful that the Lord never loses one of his jewels. Amen. He never loses one of his children. The Bible says that in 1 Peter 1:5, he says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time."
Amen. Amen.
So, this is our present standing. But there's also one more thing I want to remind us of, and that is our present service. We're not just saved just to set up on a shelf and be looked at and to be admired.
Right.
Amen. God wants us to be used by him.
Amen.
So we looked at who we were and who we are. Now we want to look at what God wants us to do with the truth that we see here.
Amen.
We're supposed to attempt to share this good news. What God has done for us. Where we were in darkness, now we're in his marvelous light. We were not a people, now we're a precious people to God. He wants us to share that with other people who are not in the family of God.
Right.
Amen. We're from another world, and so we are ambassadors of God.
Right.
Ambassadors of Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God."
Amen.
In John 15:19, the Bible says, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you." Peter's preaching to a bunch of people that are being persecuted. Some of these people are going to die because of their faith in Christ. And Peter said, "Well, you just need to hide and just be as quiet as you can so nobody knows that you're saved, and maybe you won't die." No, he says, "You have a work to do even if it costs you your life."
Amen.
Amen. Peter was willing to go to the cross for his Lord. Amen. I don't know that any of us are going to have to do that, but we should be willing to do that.
Right.
And you don't know what the future holds. Amen. So we see we're to declare the truth about the Savior. Amen. We're to declare the truth about the Savior. Look in verse number 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That phrase, "show forth the praises."
Amen.
Praising is something that you do vocally.
Right.
Amen. Whenever you're bragging on somebody, you're praising them.
Right.
Amen. And he says we should show the praises.
Right.
That means we shouldn't just praise God in the closet.
Right.
I doubt that we're going to do a lot of praising God in public if we're not praising him in private.
Right.
But we shouldn't just praise the Lord in private.
Right.
Amen. Here he says we need to show forth the praises of the Lord. Amen. The one who's bought us, the one who's paid for us. Amen. The one that redeemed us with his precious word. The word praises refers to the qualities that make something excellent. Amen. And we're showing forth the praises of him. The qualities that make, can you think of some things that makes God good? Amen. To us. That's what we're to declare to the world. Amen. We should be quick to declare what the Lord has done for us. We should be a vocal people in our willingness and our desire to share him with the world. Amen. So, I see we should also not only show forth the praises, but we should demonstrate the truth of our salvation. Look in verses 11 and 12. Look at verse 11 first. He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." I see that there's, I mentioned already praising the Lord. We should praise the Lord, but there, in our witness to others, in our demonstration of the power of God, we do that in two different ways. We do it vocally and we do it visually.
Yes, sir.
I believe the most important is visually.
Yes, sir.
Most important is to live a pure life.
Amen.
We show forth or we demonstrate the truth of our salvation by a pure walk. He says here, abstain from fleshly lust. And there's a reason for it, because they war against your soul. There's a lot of things in our world today. We understand, as I said, we're strangers and pilgrims. We're not part of this world. This world is a fleshly world. And if we ain't careful, that'll creep into our churches.
Yep.
We'll become fleshly people. There's fleshly problems.
Yep.
Amen. Now, our witness will be ruined and our lives will be ruined by our fleshly lust. Amen. I think about how a lot of things ruin a good testimony. People live for years and try to build up a good testimony, and then just a moment they can destroy it.
Yep.
Anybody can destroy it.
Yep.
By doing something that causes harm to the cause of Christ.
Yes, sir.
We need to demonstrate the truth by a pure walk and also by a powerful witness. Look in verse number 12. He says, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil, speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation."
Amen.
Amen. And there's a lot in that verse. He's talking about there having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. And he's talking about they are accusing you of doing evil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not right, because you've not done evil. These people are being accused of things they did not do.
Right.
Amen. But he says, even though they're lying on you, he says you need to have your conversation honest
right
among them. Amen. And sometimes we think, well, if they're doing it this way, then we have to do it that way to get back at them. That's not correct. Amen. It, just because they're sinning against us don't mean it's right for us to sin against them.
No.
Amen. Bible talks about heaping coals of fire on the head. Amen. By our good deeds. We're to be a powerful witness. He says also here, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they're going to say that we're evildoers. He's saying, don't suffer as an evildoer. He talks about that in another place.
Yep.
And we shouldn't do things evil. That way, if we're suffering, it's because we're suffering for doing right.
Amen.
And we're suffering wrongfully. We don't deserve to suffer, is what he's saying, if we're doing it right. But then he says that they may, by your good works, notice this, which they shall behold. I was thinking about this. Preaching yesterday on the broadcast, and I was thinking about this. Sometimes we think, well, nobody ever notices whenever I do something good. Bible says they're going to notice it.
That's right.
They may not notice everything that we do. There may be some things we do never gets noticed, nobody ever says anything about, nobody ever pays any attention. But I guarantee you, people are watching to see whether your lights are on Wednesday night.
Right.
They're watching to see if they see your car down at the beer joint. They're what, people that you don't even know are watching your life.
Right.
Amen. And the Bible says that they shall behold your good works. And that's not because we're doing it in order to be beheld. It's not that we show forth our good works. That's not the purpose. But the Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men.
Yep.
That's saying, don't put a bushel over your candles, right? Like the song says, and the scripture says as well. Don't hide it under a bushel.
Right.
Amen. Let people see your good works, that they may glorify your Father,
right,
which is in heaven. Amen. And so that's the purpose, is not to bring glory to ourselves, but to, so that Christ can be seen in our lives. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know there's a lot of people that have gotten saved because they saw a change that has taken place in somebody else.
That's exactly right.
Amen. And they see that God can do a work in their life.
Yep.
He can do a work in mine. Amen.
Amen.
And so you don't never know who's watching and what they're doing. I just want to be reminded, we're not from here. Amen. We're not home here.
Amen.
We're not home yet, children, as the song says.
Right.
Amen. There is a better day coming, but while we're here for a purpose,
right,
and for a time, and we need to live a life that's pleasing unto God.
Amen.
So that others can see Christ,
amen,
in us. Amen. Thank you, Daddy.